Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Collins Foods Limited 2016 half-year results conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Graham Maxwell, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, and morning, guys. With me on the call, I have Nigel Williams, our CFO. I'm very pleased to be able to take you through the results for Collins Foods Limited for the half year, which was the 24-week period to the 18th of October 2015. During the first half of our 2016 financial year, we have seen solid growth across all key financial metrics. Revenue was up 5.1% to just under 270 million, principally due to strong top-line growth across our network of KFC restaurants in Queensland, Western Australia and the Northern Territory. EBITDA increased by 19.8% to 35.3 million as a result of good flow through from these extra revenues and the ongoing discipline around the management of costs. NPAT was 14.3 million, up 33.6%. against an underlying first half in FY15. Just to clarify, the numbers this half have no one-off adjustments. The reason we are stating the improvement is against underlying is because the comparative numbers for the first half this time last year were adjusted. Basic earnings per share was 15.4 cents per share, up 33.6% against underlying first half of FY15. Net operational cash flow, 43.4% to 23.8 million, driven by the strong EBITDA growth referred to earlier. This extra cash has enabled us to pay down more debt. Net debt now stands at 117.4 million compared to 131.7 million this time last year and compared to 122.8 million at the end of FY15. Consequently, the net leverage ratio, the net debt to EBITDA, has now come down to 1.62 from 2.14 this time last year. An interim fully franked dividend payout of 6 cents per share will be made. This is an increase of 20% to the prior half year. Overall, these results reflect continued solid progress for Collins Foods Limited. Now taking you through the key operational highlights of the three businesses. The KFC business has had a strong first half. Total revenue growth was 8.7% due to a combination of excellent same-store sales growth and the opening of three new restaurants, two of which are in Western Australia. A further new restaurant has subsequently opened within the last few days, with the fifth due to be opened before Christmas. The growth in revenue has been converted into strong overall margin growth at EBITDA level. Due to continued focus on controls around the key efficiency measures across the P&L, but particularly in the areas of labour and waste. The learnings from the tight controls in place in Queensland continue to be transferred across to the Western Australia Northern Territory restaurants, enabling overall EBITDA margins to rise across the Collins KFC network. We remain pleased with the integration of these restaurants into the Collins business and the performance on the investment made. Sizzler Australia is now managed as a non-core business unit. Same-store sales declined 12 points in the half. However, the EBITDA being generated remains positive. Three restaurants were closed in the first half. As has previously been indicated, we are no longer committing any further growth capital investment into their brand. Sizzler Asia continues to grow and contribute positive earnings. A new snack stand has opened at Pacific Fair on the Gold Coast. This new stand brings into play all the latest thinking on the brand and customer experience. It has opened well and we are excited about its impact on the brand. We have also closed two stands, the two based in Victoria, as they were not reflective of the future brand positioning. We now have five company-owned and one franchise stand. Turning to each of the brands in more detail, starting with the KFC on page 4. As noted earlier, KFC has had a strong first half, both at the top line and at a margin level, with total revenue up 8.7% on last year's half and same-store sales across the combined KFC system up 5.2%. While the KFC business has had good momentum over the past 12 months, we are very mindful that we will start rolling tougher comps in the second half. As previously mentioned, a total of 4 new restaurants are now open since the end of last financial year, 3 within the first half and 1 a few days ago. The total KFC restaurant count now stands today at 175, with 131 in Queensland and 44 in Western Australia, Northern Territory. You'll note this is one more than in the presentation due to the recent opening across the weekend. In addition, during this period, a further 11 restaurants underwent a major remodel. KFC EBITDA at the half grew by 20.8% from $33 million to $39.9 million, with the first half margin now at 17%, up from 15.3% a year ago. The ongoing focus on operational performance has resulted in this strong overall bottom line. The performance of the KFC restaurants in Western Australia and the Northern Territory has been very pleasing, and we continue to see opportunity for growth in this region. The KFC business continues to be focused on delivering great products that enhance the brand and which our customers love. Within our core product portfolio, we launched a number of new and innovative products during the first half. To name a few, the original tenders, which is essentially boneless chicken double-breasted in our original recipe, the Zinger Taco, which is a Zinger chicken fillet inside a hard taco shell, which is in turn inside a soft taco shell. This is an absolutely fantastic product. And the Folded, which is the chicken fillet inside a soft flatbread, all of which were very popular and successful in their own right, as well as having somewhat of a halo effect to the overall brand. We brought back some great value offers, such as the $1 chips and the 24 nuggets for $10. These remain a key component. This offer sits alongside our ongoing value offers, such as now for $9.95 that we have running in Queensland. Family meals and box meals continue to play an important role in our customer proposition. They have a broad appeal across age groups and represent great value. Moving on to page 6, our restaurant build and remodel program continues to drive growth. 3 new restaurants were opened in the first half, one at Ormu in Queensland, and it's on the northern part of the Gold Coast, and 2 in Perth in Western Australia at Baldavis and Butler. All 3 restaurants are tracking ahead of internal benchmarks. Since the half, a further restaurant opened on the 28th of November at Meadowbrook, and Toowoomba East is expected to open in mid-December. Both of these restaurants are located in Queensland. The current expectation is that we will have opened between 7 and 8 restaurants by the end of the full financial year. A total of 16 remodels were completed, which together with the 3 new openings represents a capital spend of circa $12 million. Of the 16 remodels, 10 were completed in Queensland, with a further 6 in Western Australia. The picture on slide 6 in the bottom right-hand corner highlights the significant transformation of one of our more recent remodels in Gladstone. And I'm sure you guys will note how much it has actually changed. Full-year CapEx spend for KFC is expected to be in line with prior year. Moving our attention to Sizzler on page 8. As mentioned earlier, Sizzler Australia is now managed as a non-core business unit, with no further growth CapEx being committed to the brand. Overall revenue was down by 13.9% from $40.8 million to $35.1. This was driven by same-store sales decline of 12% and the closure of 3 restaurants in the first half. However, the focused management of costs has seen margins hold despite declining sales. Overall EBITDA for Sizzler is at $2.1 million for the first half, up $0.4 million on the prior year. We continue to monitor the performance of the remaining restaurants closely and will take appropriate action as and when necessary. Despite the ongoing decline in sales and restaurant closure, Sizzler Australia is expected to generate positive EBITDA in FY16. We remain fully committed to finding the best outcome for Sizzler Australia. It is important that we stay focused on our customers and employees to ensure that during this time we create a positive environment, ensuring we maximise the earnings of the restaurants. Sizzler Asia continues to contribute steady earnings growth and cash. Royalty revenue is up 20.9% in the first half compared to the prior half. One new restaurant was built in the half, and this one located in Thailand. A further new restaurant is planned to open in Tokyo this month, with potentially another 4 to 5 in the balance of the financial year. And I'll now hand you over to Nigel to take you through the financials.
Thanks, Graham. Hello, everyone. Turning to slide 11, this shows the positive net cash flow position for the first half, enabling debt to be paid down. Net operating cash flows before interest and tax were up to $34.7 million from $28.2 million prior half year, reflecting the EBITDA improvement referred to earlier, less a small outflow in working capital due to the timing of some payments held over from the prior 53-week year. Net interest payments were $0.3 million lower than last half year due to the lower debt burden and the improved net leverage ratio, allowing access to slightly cheaper interest rates. Income tax payments were $0.6 million lower than prior half year. This is all to do with the timing and rate of instalment payments made during the year in advance of the end of year tax assessment and payment. This time last year, 7 instalments were paid in the half, whereas this year it is only 6. And further, the instalment rate that we were asked to pay this year has declined very slightly. Capital spend is down on the last half year by $2.8 million due to the timing of spend. The full year spend is expected to be similar to last year. The foreign exchange movement is the result of changes in the US dollar to Aussie dollar rate on the cash we hold in US dollars in respect to the royalties from our Sizzler Asia business. Overall net cash flow was $5.4 million for the half, compared to an outflow of $3.8 million last half year. The strong results are enabling an interim fully franked dividend of 6 cents per share, up 1 cent per share on prior year, an increase of 20%. Net debt is down $5.4 million since the end of FY15 to $117.4 million, with the net leverage ratio down from 1.83 at the end of FY15 to 1.62 at the end of the first half of HY16. We are extremely pleased with our ability to continue to reduce this ratio as we benefit from the good financial performance and cash flow generation mentioned earlier. We remain very focused on the discipline of cash management and operate well within our covenant headroom. Our current revolving syndicated credit facility is $165 million. Looking at the balance sheet, the higher cash balance means that the net debt position is down as referred to earlier. Property, plant and equipment is up $3.9 million, reflecting the continued investment in new and remodeled stores, partially offset by depreciation in accordance with our policy. Net assets are now up to $181.2 million from $171.3 million this time last year. Now back to Graham for a look ahead.
Yes, it is finally on slide 14, just the priorities for the remainder of FY16. We will continue to focus on growing the KFC business through three key areas. The first one around existing same-store sales, both in terms of new products, driving the top line and customer service, as well as focus around the margin. And the second one is to continue the opening of new restaurants and the remodeling existing ones, expecting between 7 and 8 builds this financial year. And we will continue to explore further acquisition opportunities within KFC. We'll do this whilst maintaining a disciplined focus on operational improvements and the margins. We continue to refine the snack stand model, and we'll manage Sizzler Australia as non-core while supporting ongoing growth in Sizzler Asia. The dividend policy will be to pay out 50% of full-year NPAT, which excludes the KFC Western Australia Northern Territory acquisition. And now we will open up the call for any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Jordan Rogers with UBS. Please go ahead.
G'day, Graham, Nigel.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Jordan.
My first question is just around your like-for-likes after two very strong halves consecutively and the impact of the falling Aussie dollar and inbound tourism on the Gold Coast. Is that sort of real strength that you've seen around that region sort of cycled through a full 12 months now, and now should we expect that to go to more sort of normal levels, or could you just comment on that?
Yes, certainly we're seeing in some of the tourist areas, like you mentioned, the Gold Coast, to some degree the Sunshine and also up in the Cairns area, being a little bit stronger than the rest of Queensland through tourism activity. We certainly do see that holding up through this coming summer period, though that we are starting to cycle over some of these areas. There is some opportunities, I think, in those particular areas. At the same time, there has been some softness in some parts of Queensland, as you would expect in the Western Corridor, out the Dalby, Chinchilla, Roma, Emerald area, associated with oil fields and the construction closing down or coming to an end and moving more into the extraction.
So I don't know, it's early days, but the first few weeks post-balance date, are you still sort of running in that a mid-single digit type like-for-like range?
Yeah, in the 6 weeks post, we're broadly running in that area, probably seeing a little bit of softness in Western Australia.
Next question is just around the acquisition side. You mentioned exploring acquisition opportunities. I think you said the same things six months ago. I'm just wondering what whether you're getting close there and what seems to be the hold up, because it seems to logically make sense for you guys.
Yeah, look, I mean, these are just ongoing discussions. It's not something that's sort of bound by a timeline. There's a lot of complexity in these things that need to be worked through. It's something that we're committed to doing, and we're continuing to focus on having a number of conversations. If it happens, it happens, and then we'll let you guys know.
All right, and then just on the sizzler, you mentioned the guidance for positive EBITDA, but you've delivered sort of 2.1 in the first half. Are you talking positive in the second half 16 or positive for the full year and therefore could be negative 2 for the second half?
the 2 is actually for Sizzler as a whole. So there's within that there is Sizzler Australia and the Asian business. We are positive Sizzler Asia in the first half, and we will be positive in the second half, which means the full year for Sizzler Asia, sorry, full year for Sizzler Australia will be positive.
Okay. And then just could you update us around the lease profile of the remaining 23 stores? Just how many of them are sort of more than 2 or 3 years less running on the leases?
At our full year update, I think we had mentioned there was sort of around about 3 years on average of lease. So that wouldn't have moved too much. Maybe there's since then there's probably 5 or 6 months, but that wouldn't have moved too much. It's always difficult when you work on the average.
Yeah. I'm sort of wondering are there many sort of more than 3 or 4 years out?
I think I mentioned before that there were a couple in the sort of 5 year space, and there was one that was sort of in the 6 year, but those were offset by a number that were really short term.
Great, thanks guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Dominic Rose with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Well done on a strong operating result. Just firstly from me, the KFC margins obviously surprised the upside, and I think you'd cautioned when we heard from you last at the full-year result that the margins in that business were tracking towards the top end of expectations and they've gone up against. Can you maybe just talk about how we should think about those margins? Do you think you can actually sustain 17% going forward, or should we be cautious around the outlook for the margins?
Thanks, Tom. We ended last year at a 15.4% full year margin. The first half was within the Queensland was a was higher than that, but on average between the east and the west it came at a 15.4. Full year it will be north of that. If you look at the 2 years, the back half of the year can, though we have more activity, there is more cost associated with the holidays. 17% is really at the top end. As you know from our previous conversations, you know, we have had a pretty good run in terms of input costs. In terms of poultry and some of the other the food products. I think in the long run, it's probably at the top end.
Okay, thanks. And then just also the D&A didn't grow, even though you're kind of expanding the network. Can you maybe just talk about that? Because the 10 million D&A was a couple million short of my expectations.
Yeah, look, some of that might be to do with year on year. Was that year on year or against full year? Because we did some write downs last year on the Sizzler component. So there was an element of goodwill and brand, but there's also an element of plant and equipment, which would then offset the some of the D&As.
Hmm. Okay, so would you be expecting the D&A to grow in the second half, given that you've been spending?
Off the back of the KFC. We're probably adding more than it's rolling off. So net-net, we would see that sort of continue to rise while we have this this remaining period of the catch-up investment.
Okay. And also, just can you remind us of your CapEx profile for 17, 18 and 19, just sort of, you know, where you sit? You're obviously going to have a flat sort of experience this year. But can you maybe just sort of remind us where you are with your commitments and what we should be expecting in CapEx in 17 to 19?
Yeah, sure. Just in terms of our commitment to Yum, starting with Queensland, we had a five-year time frame post the RPO to do the remodel catch-up. We're into the back end of the fourth year. In fact, I think from 1st of December, we move into our final year. And then in Western Australia, we probably sort of 21 months into a four-year horizon. So expectation this year is sort of the 32, 33 million capex, which is in line with last year. Next year, we would start to see Queensland potentially starting to come off as a remodel capex sort of comes back a bit, but we'll continue with Western Australia. A big part of that, the 32, is new builds. So if we're pushing 7-8 builds a year at roughly 2 million on average, that's probably 15-16 million of that 32. So if we separate that out, we should see it start to come down, maybe a little bit next year and then a bit more the following years in terms of remodel and maintenance capex.
Okay, but we just need to, I suppose, take into consideration what the new builds are. Now, you've sort of said 7-8 would probably be the run rate for the next few years. Is that right?
Yes. We're still content with that. Probably for the next 3 to 4 years, we're comfortable that we can sort of manage the 7-8.
Yeah. Okay. And then I suppose leading on to that, and what you said with acquisitions, you've obviously had a good period of cash flow generation, which has given you more headroom in the balance sheet. Can you maybe just give us a feel for, maybe you've got a $165 million facility, but just a feel for where the board's comfortable taking that gearing metric to before you would be raising money?
Yeah, look, I think from our perspective, sort of sitting anything between sort of 1.5 and 1.7 is our comfort zone. We have pushed it up to 2.3 when we acquired the West, and it was 100% debt funded. The intent was obviously to pull it down as quickly as we could, because anything north of 2 is not an area that we want to be in. So any potential acquisition coming up in the future really depends on the size. If it's a smaller one, we could probably push the debt up a little bit, maybe back up to the 2.1. We'll have degrees of comfort. But if it's anything bigger than that, we would probably look to raise some equity.
Right, okay. All right, thanks again, and well done.
Thanks, Dom.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Owen Humphries with Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Good day, guys. Reiterating Jordan and Dom's comments, well done. I suppose a good question on the like-for-like sales growth. Can you just break down the proportion from foot traffic growth versus price rises, just to understand the health of the business? Also to understand the product pipeline, what's in the pipe in terms of new innovation, just to get a better understanding what's going on in the product.
Yeah, no, thanks, Owen. Yeah, really encouraging for us, the bulk of the growth has actually come through transactions, which is, as you indicated, really is the health of the brand. In terms of pricing, the last number of years we've contained pricing increases to half or less than half of CPR, and we've really pushed hard on two things. One is transactions, and one is in terms of trade-ups, so going from a burger combo to a box meal to get a higher ticket without the pricing. But really encouraging, and we're seeing that across the food courts as well, is that the bulk of the growth is out of transactions. In terms of products coming up, the KFC franchisor is in a very strong position in terms of its capabilities around market insights and product development. There's a very structured and regimented process in place that looks out 15, 18, 24 months in some cases. The majority of the products in the next 12 to 15 months have been pre-tested in test markets, and we actually understand the impact on the business. There's been an enormous amount of focus on chicken products, really just focusing on our core as well as components of value. So I'm confident in what is in the pipeline for the next 12 to 15 months is comparable to what we've had the last 12 months.
Great. And just in terms of acquisitions, is it your preference to continue to roll up the KFC brand, or would you prefer to diversify into a new vertical on a like-for-like basis?
Oh, look, I think both. Certainly there is an opportunity for us from a KFC perspective to acquire further KFC stores. I think there is an opportunity for some sort of consolidation. There are a number of franchisees in the system who have spent many years in the system and are looking to exit in one form or another. We do offer a good exit vehicle. It is important for us that that we can actually get synergies and gains from that, so it's not just buying earnings. So that is also part of some of the discussions. But at the same token, we are quite conscious that we would like to expand our footprint. Historically, we've had two strong brands, and now with the Sizzler business and being non-core, we are keen to find an alternative, but certainly not something that we're going to rush into. It's something that when we find the right complementary offering, we will seriously consider and expand.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Well done.
Thanks, Owen.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Josh Kanarakis with Value Holst. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Josh. Good. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, very well. Just first up, just in terms of sort of first half, second half split, obviously a very strong operating result in this first half. Would it be reasonable to assume sort of similar sort of splits in profitability looking at the sort of historicals over the past couple of years?
So you're talking about the margin component?
Yeah, from an EBITDA and sort of, you know, profitability perspective. The sort of skew to the second half.
Look, certainly the second half has a does have a higher volume. Couple of reasons.
Yep.
One is it is more seasonal. So we have Easter and Christmas in, and we also have seven periods versus six. Dollar wise, margin wise, it is not always as profitable as the first half. Labor is more expensive through all those holiday periods.
Yep. I suppose I'm just trying to get out, you know, in terms of obviously the same store sales growth has been very strong during this period, and a few factors, as some of the other guys mentioned, have driven that. If that sort of abates and slows down a bit, it could sort of be more of a sort of not so much a 44-56 sort of skew like it has been historically. Would that be fair to assume?
I mean, there's no doubt our business really likes to work in a volume environment. So, good growth really does drive the leverage of the P&L, and you know, consequently, if your volume starts to dip, it does translate through. But you know, we put a lot of focus on sort of managing our controls, and I think we have some flex in the system to manage it. As mentioned earlier, I think we are, I've said it before, we're at the top end of the Queensland cycle, I believe.
Yep.
In this current environment, and there is still a little bit of room left in Western Australia, but we're quite conscious that we can't move too quickly in Western Australia because some of the gains that we believe we can still get sits within labour. So it is important with labour that you take it out gradually. Otherwise, it really has some detrimental or can have detrimental impact in terms of customer service.
Yep, great. And I suppose just given that you're sort of comping above sort of market rates, who do you think you're sort of winning market share off in your sort of respective markets?
It's been a bit mixed between the two halves. You know, certainly you've probably seen, you know, McDonald's pretty strong in the last 6-9 months with Create Your Own. And we know historically from some of the broader announcements globally that they were suffering. We're probably seeing some elements come out of Subway. So Subway's sort of dipped, doing a lot of work at the moment trying to reposition itself. And then there is a bit of a mixture. You know, some years some are up and some are down. And look, I mean, our guess is we're probably pulling a fair amount from our direct chicken competitors.
Yep, great. And just in terms of some of the sort of input costs and the contracts, can you just give us a bit of a reminder of your sort of pricing and when some of those major contracts roll off?
Yeah, so we poultry is obviously the biggest component of our input costs. We effectively covered to January 2017.
Yep.
At a flattish rate. Outside of that, we're probably slightly below inflation on average basket within the other food costs.
Yep.
We are quite conscious that some of them are driven by exchange rate, though we managed to contain those. Then in terms of the labour side, we are through the modern award penalty barback in Queensland, and we're probably about halfway through in Western Australia. So outside of that, there's just the normal sort of increases.
Yep. Okay, great. And just one final one, just on operational improvements, you know, digital menus or tandem driveways, other innovation in ordering. Can you just give us a bit of a feel for some of your sort of pipeline in that regard?
Yeah, so certainly the drive-throughs are really important for us. You know, we can unlock a ton more capacity through those. So we've moved from trialling them in a number of restaurants to now actively rolling them out as we do remodels. Certainly we're seeing in Western Australia that's an opportunity for us. The drive-throughs tend to be quite short. So ability to have two lines coming in certainly will unlock some capacity in that. In terms of
just on that, Graham, just on in terms of the tandem driveways and things. So what sort of proportion of your network do you reckon you could sort of do that across, and how many in terms of percentage would have that at the moment?
Look, it's still pretty low as a percentage. I would reckon there's probably about a dozen or so duals at the moment, and maybe half a dozen tandems, so combination maybe 15, 18 across our system. So it's at the 10-year remodel that's the most economical time to make all the changes, because there's quite a bit of technology that has to go into it, and then obviously some physical building around the construction around the drive-through. Certainly, I think we could get up to maybe 70-80% of our drive-throughs being that way at a point in time.
Right. Okay. Great. Okay. Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, it is just star one on your telephone. Your next question comes from James Ferrier with Wilson HTM. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Graham and Nigel. Thanks for your time this morning.
Pleasure, James.
First question's on the KFC margins. Obviously, and you have made some comment around this, and clearly you're getting some fixed cost leverage with the strength in your same-store sales, but it would look like your food costs and your direct labour costs are probably only growing a couple of percentage points below your sales. Is that a fair assessment?
In terms of their inflation of those two.
Well, I mean, if your group sales, your KFC sales grew 8.7%, and given the margin expansion you're getting, it would appear that your direct labour costs grew materially below your sales. So maybe direct labour costs increased 6% versus your sales growing at 8.7%.
Not as high as that in terms of labour. So from the sales, the 8.7 includes the some of the new builds. So if we back that out to about the 5.2 for same stores, there's obviously there's volume through, but look, I mean, our labour bill, our enterprise agreement is probably running about the 2.5-3% annual increase, so it's in that sort of magnitude. We have bought out the penalty rates in Queensland, so that's a fair reflection in terms of our labour. In Western Australia, it's probably going to be a bit more than that because we're still buying out the penalty rates. But there's a lot of other factors within labour. We do put a lot of effort around the age profile. I mean, as you appreciate, there is a step change in payment for juniors. So a 17-year-old gets a buck less than an 18, who gets a buck less than 19. So we do manage our rate through age profile. So those things tend to move around a bit.
Okay. Secondly, on Sizzler, I think you mentioned three restaurants closed during the period. Did you have to pay out any lease liabilities on those closures?
No, none of them.
Okay. And then you made some comment there around the KFC same store sales growth geographically and the constituents of the growth and on volume and price, etc. But on food courts in particular, I recall that area of the business had started to improve in the last 12 months. Is that still, are the food courts still perhaps outperforming the average?
Look, I would say food courts are probably in line with the drive-throughs this half that we just had. And pleasing for us within the food courts, the transaction growth has been good. So we've probably seen the bulk of the growth in the food courts actually being through transactions. Now, some of the value plays that we have really contributed to that. So sort of $1 chips, $5 boxes really resonate well within the food court environment. Interesting enough, it's at a time that within Queensland, retail sales are soft. So it's whether they're spending more on food and less on the traditional purchases in a shopping centre, not quite sure.
Yep. Okay. The final question from me, a point of clarification there. You're expecting depreciation and amortisation charge to increase. So if we look at the second half, it'll increase year on year. Is that correct?
Maybe slightly. I mean, just on that, the question earlier, it looks from what I can, in the segment report, that the depreciation amortisation is, when you look at them together, they're very similar this year versus last half year, so 9.9 million. Depreciation of 9.3 against 9.1 when you take it just depreciation on its own. So, slightly as we continue to build and remodel stores, but really not much at all, I wouldn't have thought, because, we're not incrementally building or remodeling more than prior year in a material way.
Yeah, okay. So basically, as your PP&E balance is ticking up slightly with the CapEx commitments, you're expecting your D&A charge to creep up a little bit, but not step change.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect your lines.